Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for being with us. It's Friday, third day of June. We've got a lot of sports to tell you about from yesterday and what's coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that, so stay with us on that. But, Rick, taking a look at some of the news around the North Shore, I'm seeing in the Salem News, Paul Layton writes a story that the Registry of Motor Vehicles branch at the Liberty Tree Mall was closed again on Thursday due to what the registry website called as facilities issues. Register Aaron Devaney said in a statement that the branch has been closed this week due to problems with the HVAC system and will be closed again Friday today. So the RMV apologizes for that. So the Danvers site is closed. The closest full-service RMV branches are in Revere and Haverhill. I do know that some of the AAA offices, oh, actually, they have that here in the story. Some of the AAA offices do offer some registry services. So if you are a AAA member, I don't know if you have to be a AAA member or not. I assume you would, but to use those services. But there are AAA offices and what, Saugus, Peabody, and so on, that they might be places that you could go to. Who knows?
You got any horror stories from your visits to the RMV?
Not really. No, I mean, I really... Now that you say that, I don't think I've had to go to the RMV in a long time. I can't remember when the last time was that I had to go there. I think it had to do with, I'm trying to think. It could have been a license, and that was a long time ago, and it could have been a registration or a plate transfer or something like that, a car transfer, something along those lines. And that was a long time ago. Yeah.
So last time I went, I think I've been a few times recently, and I went. A couple of years ago, I went on, I think it was New Year's Day or the day after. It had to be the day after New Year's Day.
I don't think it was New Year's Day. I think
probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. So it had to be the next day, January 2. And I thought I got there really early. Well, I got there. And at the Liberty Tree Mall, the line was from the RMV all the way back out to Best Buy. So I got in that line. And I think after a three-hour wait, I had to go somewhere. And so I had to leave. I didn't make it. And then I had to come back the next day. And that was my own problem for going on that particular day, I guess. But yeah. Other than that, I don't think I've had to wait more than an hour any particular other time I've been. I've been recently probably, I don't know, three or four times in the last couple of years for various reasons. So it hasn't been too bad. And I will say this, the people I've dealt with, unlike maybe 20 years ago, the people I have dealt with at the registry have been very helpful. And every single person I've dealt with so far has been very courteous. And that is a change from years and years ago.
Right. I'm trying to think now. I remember in earlier years, it seems like I've been to many different registry offices. I mean, there was one in Beverly I went to a bunch of times. There was one in Reading. There is last one I think I've been to was Revere. I know there's the one in the Liberty Tree Mall and so on. But I think they must be doing their job because a lot of the routine stuff, you don't have to go there anymore. You just can do it either online or in the mail or something along those lines. So having said that now, I'm going to find myself plunked down at the registry. I do remember the last time I think I was in Revere, and I do remember getting some kind of a number, and then you sit and watch the screen, and then you wait and wait and wait. And so that did take a while, I think, but who knows? But you said you're right. I really don't remember people not being courteous at the registry. I remember people not having a lot of enthusiasm, but I've never had a problem with anybody there, and I can't blame them for that. Some days, so
like the old toll takers. Yep. It's gotten better. It's gotten better, and hopefully it'll continue. But too bad they're closed in Danvers. That's a pain in the neck not to be able to get there when you need to.
And I guess they've probably overall closed a bunch of offices. I'm guessing that they have over the years, but they have opened up others. So who knows?
I got to tell you, Bill, we have some construction going on at our MSO radio studios. So you're going to hear some pounding and some strange noises. And today I'm actually inside the studio rather than being outside in the aviary. So you won't hear any birds this morning, but you will hear pounding and sawdust and stuff like that.
That'd be great. That's a little bonus here for the program today.
Yeah, so, well, you know, the studio is just going to be fabulous the next time you come in.
Sounds good.
All right, so shall we switch to Keep In for a minute?
Yeah.
Right, a couple of things, Bill, from the Gloucester Times. Apparently there was a very bad fire in Magnolia. Let me see what day that was. Well, it doesn't really say, so it was either yesterday or the day before at 29 Shore Road. House was recently purchased shortly before 5 a.m. on Thursday. There it is. Arriving firefighters, led by Deputy Fire Chief Miles Schlichty, had a second alarm struck at 5:34 a.m. And no injuries, thank goodness, and the cause is under investigation. But the house was being renovated. Boy, you hear that story a lot. And unfortunately, a fire caused quite a bit of damage at that Magnolia home. But again, no injuries. And then, again, lead story on the Gloucester Times on the front page is the Gloucester Angel program. There are a couple of stories about successful rehabilitation of patients over the last year. Some stories in there that are very moving and very heartrending, if you will, but looks like they're success stories. And another story on Chief Campanello on all the activity that's gone on around the Angel program and how much recognition that the chief in particular has gotten. And he's appreciative of that in the article. He said, but I'm the Gloucester Fire Chief, police chief. And the thing that makes him most proud, he said, is the notes he gets from patients who have been successfully treated and just are thanking him and the Gloucester Police Department for the initiative. So in 14 months, I guess over 500 addicts have been treated through the Gloucester Angel program, and there are some very, very good positive success stories coming out of that.
Yeah. Well, yes, and that story, some of those stories are also duplicated in today's Salem News, so some of those stories are in the news as well. So, Rick, I thought we have, and on Trending Now airs later on today. What's up today on Trending Now?
A couple of things. Josh Arnold will be here, of course, and he's going to be interviewing, I believe it's, oh, goodness, I don't know that, I forget the last name. But anyway, he's the owner of a program over in Manchester by the Sea called Cricket Press that has been a mainstay of information in the Cape Ann area for years and years and years. And one of the most amazing things they do is they employ a lot of people who might be deemed unemployable by others, and they've done a wonderful job with that, a great community leader. And then at later on in the program, I'll be talking with a member of a group called Aztec Two-Step. They are an acoustic duo that have been together for more than 30 years, I believe, with a number of CDs, a very popular group nationwide, and I think you could probably describe them as folk rockers or of that ilk, and we will talk to one of the founding members at around 10:30 this morning. Then I'm also going to play a presentation that Mayor Safathia Romeo Taken of Gloucester did on, what day was it, Wednesday, I believe it was, when the new VA facility ribbon cutting took place. And I made a mistake of saying that it was open, and it's not open yet. They just had the ribbon cutting, but there was a presentation that the mayor made to a very familiar face and voice in the Cape Ann area, and I will play that back also.
Well, when you have a ribbon cutting, I would tend to go along with you, think that maybe it's open at that point. But
what I thought.
Yeah. I want to transition now. We got a lot of sports maybe to talk about, but there was an obituary in Thursday's Salem News, and today Gary Larrabee has a story on Brian Forster, who passed away.
Now, oh, my.
Yeah, Brian Forster was down in Rhode Island, and he was a star football player at Danvers High School. He played with the Bavaro brothers. And in Gary Larrabee's story, he cites some of these folks. And what's interesting is it was just Wednesday, probably just about a day before, or maybe that day. It's funny, I ran into Ernie Smith. Ernie came over, said hi to me over at the Danvers girls lacrosse game, the former AD and football coach. And here is Ernie, quoted in the story as well by Gary in today's paper in the Salem News. But he passed away unexpectedly Monday, 51 years old, and had a brief illness. It doesn't go into much. But remember, he was just one of those. He was 6'2", 220 pounds, and he was he was an 83 graduate of Danvers High School, went on and played at Rhode Island. And at Danvers High School, 32 passes he caught for 700 yards, 10 touchdowns as a senior. So, it's really sad news there. And so we send along our condolences and thoughts to the Forster family and to all the Danvers football family and Danvers athletic family. I don't see a note here. I'm only on the first part of the story, but didn't he play hockey too, Rick? Does that ring a bell with you or not?
Do you know, that I don't remember, but I obviously remember the great play of O'Brien when he was a kid, you know, a tight end, a defensive end, in that Mark Bavaro mold, obviously. And he played also with my next-door neighbor is Mark Bedrosian, and Mark was the center on those teams. I believe I think Mark might have graduated in 81, maybe a year or two before Brian.
Yeah, he did. He played, I'm reading on in the story, and he played with Coach John Gillis. There's another great name from
played hockey,
sports here.
Yep.
But he still, Forster still holds URI's receiving records for most passes caught in one game, 18 of them done twice. So, again, he's a URI Hall of Famer as well. So, a terrific athletic career. You know, he, like you said, he played with the Bavaros and so on. So, that's definitely some sad news. And, for folks to hear that. And so we are very saddened to hear that. So, Brian Forster passing away in Rhode Island.
That's a shock. That's a real shock.
Well, Rick, I'm going to go.
Too much of that stuff. I don't like it. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I'm going to flip quickly to two baseball games yesterday that we have posts up on our website. First of all, early in the afternoon, Beverly played host to Belmont, and that game was breezing along. And, Rick, I'm thinking you're going to be back home working on the studio there in no time, but it went 13 innings. So what a game that was. You tell the story, but what? Belmont scored the two runs, and then.
I was scheduled to bring in some sheetrock. That didn't happen. it's funny. I was with Danny V of the Boston Herald, Danny Ventura. I hadn't met him before, and Phil Stacy. Phil introduced me to Danny V. So we were on the third base side watching the game, and after 84 minutes, we're in the top of the seventh inning. So we're thinking, this is good. This is quick. We'll be able to get home, post these stories, and get to the next game. Well, excuse me. It's scoreless after six. Top of the seventh, I believe a hit. What was it? A walk. Beverly walked in a run for Belmont, and then there was a fielder's choice. So I believe I don't have my notes in front of me, but anyway, Belmont took a 2-0 lead. Top of the seventh, bottom of the seventh, Beverly's got a runner on first, two outs, and Luke Semperi comes up and he crushes it for a 2-run home run. So now we're tied after seven. Now these two teams, Bill, 2 years ago went 16 innings in a playoff game before Belmont won that one 4-2. According to, if my memory is correct, talking with Phil. So the game goes along, and then in the 13th inning, Belmont scratches out two runs at the top of the inning. This is where they got an infield hit that scored a run, and then a fielder's choice scored the fourth run, and that was it. The Belmont reliever, the Belmont starter, by the way, and I can't think of his name at the moment, but he'll be going to Penn State next year. And the kid was tremendous. He struck out, I think, 11. In seven innings, but the Belmont starting catcher became the reliever, and I believe he pitched about five innings of shutout ball, and Belmont won the game. The Belmont coach was very appreciative, obviously, after the game that they pulled it out, and Dave Wilbur, the Beverly High School coach, was very gracious and very laudatory about his kids. They played great. They just couldn't get the big hit when they needed it, except for Sam Perry's tremendous home run in the bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, and that was Beverly had a great season this year, all things. And they had a young team. They lost a lot from last year's very good Beverly team. So everything they did, they accomplished was probably far more than a lot of folks thought they would accomplish this year. So great job by Coach Dave Wilbur and the Beverly High baseball team. Another game over in Marblehead yesterday. Marblehead shut out Concord Carlisle with Spencer Carr tossing a no-hitter for Marblehead in that win. Congratulations to him. We have the stats up there. I think he had 8 strikeouts in that game. Obviously, no hits, and I think a couple of walks in that game. And the other game that I went to was a huge Division II upset. Wakefield and Lynn Classical. Lynn Classical going over there. They just qualified for the tournament. The last game of the season, which was the consolation game of the Clancy tournament against Lynn English. And I think they won that by just one run. And they jump out. They actually, this is how the game started. Wakefield's first two batters get on base, and then they come around and score. But that would be all they would get until the very bottom of the seventh inning. And Classical got all 5 of their runs. They won 5-4 to Classical. They got all 5 of their runs in the fifth inning, I believe. And four of them were unearned. So Wakefield made two errors in that game, in that inning. Clasco wins, and what is amazing is Wakefield comes back, bottom of the seventh inning, and the tying run or potential tying run, the runner on a play, overruns third base and is tagged out, and the game ends right there. And Clasico hops on the bus, goes back, and they live for another day in the tournament. And I think they play Burlington, because I think Burlington beat Melrose. We have that score up there on our website. So anyway, those are just a handful of the games. Congratulations to the Masco girls lacrosse team. They were winners. They knocked off Danvers yesterday. So those are some of the stories. It's all kinds of things, but do check out the sports pages, either of the local papers, Salem News, Item, whatever, in the Gloucester Times.
How do we get Wakefield in the Northeast Conference, Bill?
Yeah, I know. I was actually going to, I'm thinking that we've done some stuff with Wakefield this year, and that would be a great, I was telling Mike Zukowski this, basically, the classical coach, is that, that they have had a fantastic season, and they, I think, were thinking they could go pretty far into these playoffs if things worked out for them. And, we just haven't been able to connect up to do a feature on them. But yesterday wasn't the day to do the feature on them. But because it was the big story was the classical upset win. So congratulations to the classical baseball team and their win. And I also noted that the Navigators lost last night in their opener. They were out at Martha's Vineyard. And actually, we have a story. We talked to Richard Fecteau, who played with the Navigators last year. And he tells a story. I asked him a story at the end of the interview about any odd stories about playing with this league, which is college players. Got to be careful with this question. But any on the road stories, travel stories kind of thing. So I was kind of looking for travel stories because, travel is always can be a problem. No matter when you're traveling, no matter if you're going first class or riding a team bus in minor league baseball or even below minor league baseball. But he does tell the story about going over to Martha's Vineyard. So they go over to Martha's Vineyard. They play on the ferry. They take the regular ferry over. But then they play at night, and I'm guessing that the ferries stop running, the big ferries. So they take a very small boat back from Martha's Vineyard back to the mainland. And I guess that's a little more scarier in the middle of the night than the bigger ferry. So, but anyways, he tells that story in our interview that we put up there with Richard Fecteau from just a day or so ago.
And as we talk about this on Friday, we are planning to broadcast the next baseball game for Danvers, which will be Monday. I think it's a night game, Bill. I'm not sure, but it's Monday, and it will be Belmont at Danvers.
Okay. And again, as it was Belmont that defeated Beverly, as you were just talking about yesterday in that 13-inning game.
Yeah, so the time will have to be TBA. I don't know exactly the start. But Phil's the night game. Go ahead.
No, that's it. That's all I've got. So
that's all I got.
All right. So that'll do it. There's no reason to drag this thing out. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks for listening to us here on North Shore Today on MSO News Sports.